There's a very popular children's song. Some of you might not know. So we'll learn part of it now. And it goes something like this. Paro b'pijama b'emtza halayla. Anyone hear that? In English it goes, Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. Okay, very important song. Everyone must learn it. And the song is about this week's parsha. Paro, in the middle of the night, the pasuk says, Perek Yud Beis pasuk lamed, Vayakam Paro Laila. Hashem brought on the last plague, the 10 of the plagues, the 10th one, Makas Bechoros. In every single house that had a firstborn, there was a dead body. Pretty intense. This was the final hit, and after that, we were let out. And Paro, the pasuk says, he woke up, Vayakam Paro Laila, Vatihitzaka Gidolab Mitzrayim, was yelling, Ki ain bayis, asher ain shamis. There was no house that didn't have a dead person in there. So Paro got up, and Rashi explains, what does it mean that he got up? It means he was in bed. Now can you imagine? There was already 10 plagues that came on Egypt. Intense, difficult. And Paro was warned that the 10th plague, which was going to be worse than all of them, is about to come. So he's all ready for it. And he knows when it's going to come. And Paro actually gets into his pajamas and goes to sleep in his bed. How is that possible? Maybe you at least pretend and like look past the shutters, you know, the drapes, like peek out to see if anything's happening. Something? A little bit nervous? Nothing. He's able to go to sleep. Totally relaxed. Unbelievable. And we find this already from the very beginning of the different plagues in last week's parsha. By the mark of Dam, by the blood. It was in the middle of the plague. He saw everything turned into blood. They couldn't drink water. And what's the pasuk say? Vayifing Paro vayavo beso. Paro turned and he went back home. Velo shas libo gam lezos. He didn't put his heart towards this. He didn't pay attention. Even though the plague was in his face, he was able to just walk away from it. Later in last week's parsha, by the Makkah of Barad, by the hail, again, this is after 6 plagues already. Every single time Moshe says something's going to happen, it actually happened. He was very much warned. And what's the pasuk say? Perek tes, pasuk yutes. Vashel osam libo dvar Hashem. The people were warned that all you have to do is take your animals and put it into your house. If you put the animals into your house, they won't get plagued by the plague. It was very simple. Now, any simple businessman would say, look, I'm not sure. Maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. I might as well bring it into the house. And yet, we see that many of the Egyptians left their animals outside and the hail nailed it. How do we understand these? Who are these people? The pasuk says, Vasher lo sam libo dvar Hashem. The people that, again, the same word, sam libo, they didn't put their heart. They didn't pay attention to the word of God. It doesn't say they were bad people. It doesn't say they were good people and bad people. That's not the point over here. Right? They didn't do anything wrong to anyone else. It was their own cattle. It was their own animals. But they didn't pay attention. And we see that this is what Paro did. Even after 9 plagues, he was able to go to sleep in his bed. That's an unbelievable thing if you think about that for a minute. How does that happen? How is something so obvious and so clear, and yet you're able to just pretend as if it's irrelevant? Calmly go to sleep. Now we see that this was Paro understood that this is something that the Jews were guilty of. The Jews went ahead and they said that we want to go out and we want to party, we want to serve God. And Paro said, well, that means that you're not working hard enough because you have too much time to think. And therefore, he added on work, labor for us. So the more we're busy, we're not going to have a chance to think. We'll be distracted. And that's what the Mesil Sisharm writes. That is the challenge in every single one of our generations. We all have a Paro. We all have the Egypt in our lives that tries to keep us so busy, tries to keep us distracted, so we're not able to focus on the obvious. Paro himself was guilty of it, even though he knew, but he didn't care. But that was what was going on. They were warned, they were experiencing the plagues, but they were distracted. They weren't able to focus and zero in on the message and on what's right. And this is something that's very important for us to try to think about in our lives, because we find someone that was the opposite of this. And that was later on in the Torah, in Sefer Shmos, Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. The pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard. He heard. And what did he do? He came and he converted to Judaism. He came to convert to the Jewish people. He wanted to be part of the tribe. And the Gemara discusses, what did he hear? Some people say he heard the miracle of Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea. Some people say he heard the giving of the Torah. This was something that everyone heard. The whole world heard about the miracle of the Yam Suf. The whole world heard about the giving of the Torah. But only Yisro is the only one that we find that comes in and says, well, I want in. Why? Because Vayishma Yisro, because he heard. What does it mean to hear? I heard a very beautiful idea last week, and someone showed it to me that it's found in the back of a book called Jewish Meditation by Rav Arya Kaplan. He says something very fascinating. He says that the letter Shin in the Aleph Beis makes the sound shh. That's the same sound as white noise. Right? If you're in a room, if you're in a stadium, there's a lot of noise going on. This person's calling, that person's yelling, this person's saying this. You hear static. You hear shh. That's the sound of white noise. On a, I think it's called an oscilloscope. It's a mechanism that measures sound waves and certain types of sounds. So the S sound is chaotic, jumps around, there's no order. Because that's what when you're in a place and there's a lot of noise, you hear the shh, right? Okay. Then, the opposite of that is the sound. Right? When people want to meditate, that's the mem. The mem. Because that sound is a straight, calming type of a sound. More of a focus that allows a person to zero in on a specific thing. And that's why the Sfarim say that the shin is represented by esh, by fire. Because fire has no order. It goes sparkles all over the place, right? There's no order to it. While mem represents mayim, water, which has a soothing, flow, calming type of a feeling. Anytime we have the idea of there's something confusing, distracting, unclear, noisy, and you want to zero in and focus on something specific, you go from a shin to a mem. For example, the name of a person is a shame, because we have a whole room of people over here. Who am I speaking to? Oh, I'm speaking to Tzvi. I've zeroed in. I've singled a person out. I focused. So I went from the I went from the shin, which is distracting, it's a lot, and I zeroed and focused into the mem. Or the word sham. Sham means over there. I'm talking about something, I need to be able to point, to focus, over there. Sham goes from the shin to the mem. And perhaps more importantly is the word shema, to hear. How do you hear? What does it mean to hear? What it means to hear is not just that some sound went into one ear and went out the other. That's not called hearing. To be shema means to be able to internalize and focus on something. You go from the shin to the mem. You're able to, you have a shin, it's distracting, it's a lot of noise, and you're able to focus in. That is what shema is. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro was able to hear the exact same thing that everyone else in the world heard. Everyone knew that there was a Kriyas Yam Suf. It was obvious. But he was the only one that was able to make a move based on it. Why? He was able to focus. Sometimes we hear things, but we hear a lot of things. And we're distracted. And we lose out. We lose out on being able to listen, to hear, to focus, to concentrate. And this was what happened to Paro. Yeah, Paro heard the warning. Paro even had a few examples to know. But at the end of the day, there were so many other things going on, and there were other things that were important. He didn't take a minute to stop, think, focus, zero in, and be able to act based on it. And like the Mesilas Yesharim says, we're guilty of this all the time. We're busy, even busy with good things. And we're multitasking. Multitasking is the worst thing to be able to focus. It splits our focus. It splits our focus. Imagine going out long and saying, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn something. My phone is going to be off. If someone comes over to me, I'm going to say, I'm available right now, or I'll put up a sign and say, please don't disturb me. I'm focused. I'm not going to let hunger, which is a distraction, go get the better of me to go get a drink, go get something to eat in the middle. I'm able to focus. We have to sit down, every one of us, and we have to try to list 5 different distractions that don't allow us to focus. Now again, some of those things might be good. No one's going to say that eating is not a good thing. Eating is very important, right? But if hunger is a distraction, so then before we sit down to our focused exercise, we should eat beforehand. Don't start if 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, 40 minutes later, I'm going to have to get up. And then we'll be able to see if we're able to block out all of the noise, all of the distractions, we'll be able to focus and be much more successful. We'll be able to hit our potential in a much greater way. Now don't forget, again, some of those distractions might be good. So our exercise is not to figure out what's good and what's not good. Our exercise is to sit down and figure out what 5 things, again, you might find 10, 15, and 20. Let's start with 5. Which 5 things can distract me? When I list those things, make sure that we get them out of our way or figure out when we're going to take care of it, because we're about to embark on a 90-minute focused exercise. We're going to sit and do something for 60 minutes. Okay, 15. 15 minutes. 15 minutes of focus. And then we're going to build up to 17 minutes, and then 20 minutes, and 30 minutes, and 40 minutes, and just keep on going. This applies in every aspect of our life, not just in our learning, in our relationships. We could be sitting opposite a person, and we know that we're supposed to be talking to that person. It could be to our wives, it could be to our friends, it could be to our family members, and we know that we're supposed to be sitting there and listening to them and trying to give to them. But we pull out the phone and we just check one message, or we just, oh, it's just 1 second. This 1 second, this one's important. We pick up the phone call and we answer, just 1 second. You understand. If you see the guy next if you see the guy next to you doing it, you look at it like, that is so weird. Now they're sitting in the restaurant, they're supposed to be spending time together, and he's on his thing, and she's on her thing, and it just looks funny. And then you're, I do the exact same thing. Right? It's clear, it's obvious. We know that it's wrong, but we get distracted. And this isn't the new thing with technology. This has been in existence for the history of man. In Mitzrayim, this is what was going on. Different distractions. But like the Mesilas Yesharim says, in every single generation, it comes about. This is the Yetzer Hara's greatest tactic. Distractions. So we have to try to fight that. We have to try to first think about what are the potential distractions. And then we actively have to go and enter into a focused time. I am now in focus time. And try to be able to build that and do that in a consistent manner. I guarantee you, can I also work on this? I guarantee you that if you are able to give some time to being focused, again, for whatever each person feels is the right amount of time for them to start now. you will see that your success will go through the roof. Things that you never thought you could accomplish, you're going to be able to accomplish. So Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be zocha to learn the lessons from Paro, be able to take out that noise, go from the shin to the mem, be able to hear all the messages of truth, be able to focus on them, be able to act in it, and be able to be successful. Shavua Tov.